Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR, joining you for a special, I guess, holiday edition. We're recording this on Easter.
The hippity hoppity version.
Yeah, of course it's not dropping on Easter, but for all of you who celebrate.
Day after, close enough.
Hope you had a good holiday, to say the least. We're doing, like I said, a quick recording, then both stuff in our faces later, so got to still get it in. I actually thought we were going to be doing a remote, so I'm excited that we get to do this one in person.
Dude, I can't.
It's not the same.
The mic, it's too jank.
It's not only the mic.
It hurts my ears.
It's different energy not being in person with each other.
I get crazier if I'm not in the same room, though. I'm harder to control.
Yeah, you're looser. I think some of your loosest statements have come on our remote episode. So I guess that is one treat of it.
It's give and take.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been a good last week of VR for us. And we have a whole bunch of upcoming releases that we're going to talk about as well today. But this last week alone, we saw Tropico on the MetaQuest come out.
Yeah.
And we also saw Medieval Dynasty New Settlement come out. And I'm so excited that we get to finally talk about these. We got a little bit of early access through the MetaQuest creator program. So big shout out to the creator program there that we were able to get, you know, access to those games ahead of time. And both of those titles, one play session in, I was like, oh man, both of these are great.
Well, I mean, we'll talk Tropico for MetaQuest real quick. We both love the flat screen
series.
If I look at my
Tropico,
my Xbox,
1 to 6, 7 if they're on 7. I think they're on 6 though.
I think I have some on Steam, and I definitely have, yeah, they're on, you're up to 6 right now.
Yep.
And it's never disappointed. It's never felt like a different game from Tropico 1 to all the way to now playing Tropico on the MetaQuest.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same base of the game. It's just they've made everything better, added some new features as the years have gone on. So I already knew, like, this would have to be an absolute disaster for me not to love it. I loved it on mm-hmm. when it was first even talked about, I think, when we had brought it up once. And it's like, dude,
that's one of my top, you know, real-time strategy game series. It's up there with Civ to me. So to see it come out on the MetaQuest in VR, I was stoked, because how many times have you heard me say, let's get Civ in VR?
Yeah.
So to me, this is a little bit of a pilot of, like, yes, this style of game works in VR. It's fun.
It definitely works. I mean, one will and can make the argument that it's like, well, it's not true VR. But to me, it is. It's like,
we used to hear that a lot.
I got 360 degrees, turn around, look around. And I get it. I'm playing, you know, I'm inside a flat screen game. I don't need...
That's VR to me. Remember when we first got our headsets, people used to make that argument that that was 3D gaming, not VR?
Yeah, that's being played in VR. It's VR to me. But I'm biased because I love this style of gaming. And it's like there's so many out in the wild that are probably watching how this performs.
Correct.
What the reaction is and go, shit, we can bring these over. And I encourage developers to do it, because it's you always say Civ. I've got a list of them as well. You know, but what scares me about the Civ argument, though, is like there are a lot of like newer games that people could probably port easier than going, you know.
No, I'm still shooting for my Civ Hail Mary.
But
I love that one.
Oregon Trail's back on flat screen. I swear to God, with an update, it's like a 20-something dollar version. I'm like, I might actually get this. But Tropico, come on, dude.
Yeah, for fans of the series, it's Tropico 4.
El Presidente.
Yeah. If you played a bunch of Tropicos, it's Tropico 4 is the base of it. And it has the Tropico 4 DLCs, the Modern Time DLC. So if you're a fan of Tropico, you're going to love it. It's 100% everything great about Tropico, just utilized in
VR. Tropico.
Yeah.
Tropico on the Quest.
They didn't redo anything to like take full advantage of VR mechanics or anything like that. It is literally Tropico 4 in VR, but that's also not a negative. There's no reason to rewrite the wheel on this one.
Dude, everything works. It runs smooth. If I were to add any change at all,
It'd be able to pick it up stuff and move it like that. What's that? Because it's kind of laser pointer.
Grip turn.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
And I'm speaking out of the cheek because I'm not 100%. There is no, but I'm pretty sure.
No, there's not. Use your analog stick either with teleportation.
Because I'm like, I don't remember if I really even looked for the setting first. But to have grip turn and like the zoom in, zoom out method.
That's the only thing it's missing. That
would make a game change because then you can grab and reach and pull. But I'm not complaining. It's like if they don't change a damn thing, I love the music.
I was hoping you'd be able to grab stuff too, like place and move with your, you know,
your kind
of grip like that instead of more laser pointer style. But the laser pointer style works so good.
It's accurate.
It's hard to get away from it.
In some cases, it's a lot easier than flat screen.
Like I agree.
Turning the buildings and shit. It's like there's not as many control stuff to worry about.
No, I 100%. And the way you open up the whole wheel with all of the edicts and the intel and everything like that.
Put together really good.
Yeah, so for fans of the Tropico series, home run. And if you've never really played that style of game, Tropico in specific does a great job of onboarding you on the game through their campaign mode. Of course, there's a tutorial as well. But
kind of just blends.
Yeah, the campaign, it really teaches you the game a little bit more in each level. You know, you have less stuff to worry about right at the start. Myself, since I've played Tropico 4 a bunch, played the Tropico series a bunch, I've been killing my headset in sandbox mode. Loving it. It's too much fun to me.
I got both the campaign and sandbox going.
Yeah.
It's usually how my style for the...
Well, campaign's good because you really build up your character's Swiss bank account really good through it. Whereas in sandbox, sometimes I'm like so focused on just building up everything, I never really like focus too much on the Swiss
sandbox
bank account
it
right
doesn't
away.
Matter, you know?
Yeah, it's like it's just so much fun.
Just have fun and go crazy. And sandbox is also a great way to learn the game with little consequence too, because you're not as invested as
the like campaign.
Doing a campaign. But you know, Tropico for MetaQuest, home run.
Yeah, Feral Interactive, they're the ones who ported it over.
But we knew.
Yeah.
we knew, man.
Like you said, they would have had to really mess up for this one to not be a home run to us, but they succeeded in bringing Tropico to the MetaQuest in VR. You know, it's a home run. So huge props to Feral Interactive on that one. That was pretty badass. And then the other one that we just talked about a moment ago, Medieval Dynasty New Settlement. I'll never forget. I'm pretty sure it was around the time that we started the podcast, you coming over and being like, dude, I started playing this new game on the Xbox.
It was in beta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You played a flat screen on the Xbox and you were hyping up to me. That was the original Medieval Dynasty.
Yep.
And dude, for probably like a month, every time I saw you, it was like you were telling me more about your growth in the game. And I remember at one point you were like, call me crazy. I think that this could work really good in VR.
Oh, dude, there's no... Anybody who played the flat screen and had a VR headset would probably think the same exact thing. Like this, because there's so much to do, so much to craft, so many people to meet.
And when you were describing the game to me, I'm like, if they could bring all that depth to VR, that's going to be one of the most in-depth games on the library. So when I saw that they were making a Medieval Dynasty New Settlement spinoff, I mean, we were both hyped.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, man, but it's a spinoff. So we're like, let's see how much of this, you know, how similar is it to the original game? And now that we've played it, of course, as a spinoff, it's not the same campaign. It's its own thing. It's a spinoff, but they've really brought in all that depth to the VR version. Just in your own words, you were saying it's a little less brutal than the flat screen version.
They've simplified the process from what I play on Xbox.
I remember you always told me the flat screen version was like ruthlessly hard. You would even use the cheats in it sometimes just to get through.
Yeah, man. I have one save on, fuck you. Nothing's killing me. Nothing's, I can stand there. You can try to beat me to death. What really threw me on the... was the weather changes.
The flat screen?
Yeah, I froze to death. I'm like, oh, man, it's heartbreaking. You know, I just did a bunch. My character's going to freeze to death.
Whereas the VR version seems a little less ruthless than that. Of course, they give you two game modes. They give you an adventure mode, which is, you know, it's still open world and stuff, but there's a campaign.
Campaigns.
Yeah, there's a story to follow, which much like Tropico does well, that story is basically teaching you the whole game slowly in a very good, entertaining way. It's not like this boring handheld thing.
Although Medieval's campaign stories are much deeper than Tropicos for sure.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
For sure.
But they have the campaign mode, which is open world still, but they, you know, there's a campaign that really teaches you the game with it too, and then they also have a sandbox mode. But in Medieval Dynasty, you have to build your house, build pretty much everything to stay alive, farming, mining.
Dude, from fire to tools.
To tools, yes. You have to build your axe to cut down trees. If you need to do something, you need to build it
and
to do it.
With progression, your wooden tools that you build at the start mm-hmm. aren't going to cut it for later on. So you have to build like the metal tools or the...
And it's called Medieval Dynasty, so you have to make a dynasty. You mm-hmm. have to go get married. You have to go make kids. You have to go make kids. You have to go birth kids, you know. You have to go do quests for people. You have to build relations. The game is in-depth as hell.
Yeah, just like Tropico. It's like I loved the flat screen, so mm-hmm. I was just rejoicing in the fact that they were bringing something over to VR. Didn't expect it. Wanted it. Said in my head it would work. But so far, I'm pretty freaking impressed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And you can play it sitting down. So, I mean.
I haven't played enough of Medieval to do a full review of it and say, this is the score. You know, I haven't beaten the campaign yet. I haven't messed around really in Sandbox. There's still so much to do before I can give my full thoughts on it.
Dude.
But so far, I can say I'm loving it. And I highly recommend it. For anybody that likes that role-playing game, open world style game, dude, this might be one of the most, if not the most in-depth that we have on the MetaQuest library.
For this style and time period, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That medieval time period that people just love.
I can't even guess how long it would take if you were like, I'm going to build and do every single thing in the game. You're talking, it's got to be over 20 hours.
Yeah,
it's got to be, because I mean, you have to build everything and then hammer it and cut wood and hopefully not get raided by bandits, and you're going to want to hunt. And different areas have different animals, which I'm not in the flat screen. Like, you go to specific areas to hunt like more dangerous animals versus little bunny rabbits and fox and shit like that. So I just want to keep playing it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Tropico has been eating up a lot of my battery, but I'm getting pretty far into my sandbox runs. It's like, all right, I think I'm getting ready to really dive in more into Medieval Dynasty. But the developers, Spectral Games, they crushed it on this spinoff port. They're not the original developers of the flat screen, but they're doing amazing stuff. You played it before I did, and the first thing that you said to me was, if they add co-op to this, we're in trouble. Like, you might not see
co-op
us for...
Co-op would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shit you got to gather, and especially later on in the game, it's like, man, one of your whole play sessions is going to be nothing but gathering stuff, and it's not going to be enough.
I was looking, too. The flat screen version added co-op, so it's not like something that they would be adding that's not...
I have
not,
no friends in Xbox.
Well, you know, you have friends in VR, so it will be no problem in Medieval Dynasty New Settlement. So, between Tropico... on the MetaQuest, and then Medieval Dynasty, we've had a busy week of mm-hmm. playing. And then Contractors Showdown put up their servers again over the weekend. So it's like, man, there's just too much to play. Whole bunch of stuff coming out in April that we'll talk about later on this episode too. But huge props to those two developers for, you know, taking up all of our playtime recently. That was a good week. And I'm not anywhere close to done. That's probably what I'm going to be mainly playing the next... Jeez.
Yeah, dude, Dad, talk to me in a month.
Yeah, exactly. And then,
like, to be honest with you, it's like, because I still play Tropico, mm-hmm. like flat screen Tropico. I'll still go back to it
any day.
Medieval Dynasty, I'll still play Medieval Dynasty. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these games have save features. It works well.
And like you said earlier, and I agree with 100%, hopefully Tropico attracts some other developers from genre.
It's a good, if you're going to bring a name over, I mean, bring a good one, right?
Mm-hmm. 1,000,000%. And then, you know, a game that keeps getting updated still, I'll give them credit, Arizona Sunshine 2 for a story-based game. You know, oftentimes these games drop and then there's not a whole bunch of new content added, but they've added, you know, new buddy skins.
Corgi.
Corgi. They've added some updates already in Arizona Sunshine 2. They just added a new map for their Horde mode, a new trailer park map, which was in the first Arizona Sunshine game as well. Mm. So a little nostalgic throwback for original fans of the series as well, too. So huge props to Vertigo Games. You know, they don't just abandon their games.
I mean, it was a finished game to me, but mm-hmm. it's cool that they've given, a reason to go back and play, whether it not be the full story. But like, hey, we got horde modes now, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
well, they had the horde mode at launch, but now they have more
different maps.
And we played the horde mode. It got really bad reception from what I saw at launch because, like, it's pretty bare bones, but I had a fun time.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. My only complaint probably would have been that there's not like an abundance of different maps, but I got nothing bad to say. It's a great studio, great product.
Yeah, Vertigo Games, when they do their in-house games, they crush it with continued content and updates. They did that very good with After the Fall as well. And when they act as a publisher too, like with Hellsweeper VR, that's developed by a developer, Mixed Realms, but Vertigo Games acts as the publisher. And we've seen Hellsweeper VR get continued updates since launch, including they just added a new Wrath update, which takes advantage of some features available exclusively on the PlayStation VR 2, like foveated rendering. But even for Quest 3 users, it added new content like new enemies, a new magic staff, some other different content updates in it as well. You know, but it's cool. These games drop and boom, they're continue. They're like live. They never die. Even Dungeons of Eternity. We went into Dungeons of Eternity last week after, probably like a month or two. And it felt in some ways like not a totally different game, but there was a lot more content, a lot more variety of dungeons and stuff like that. So I love it when developers, they drop these games and it just doesn't stop.
Well, some developers, there's a lot that.
Yeah, I didn't say all developers.
It's in the wild, it's it. But no, and we talked to them and they seem pretty aggressive with the future of especially Dungeons of Eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That can ever evolve. But I'm loving it, dude. Just not enough time in a day.
Yeah. Like
that's the problem.
Recently, it's like we'll play a little bit, and I'm like, all right, peace. See you in Tropico, and that's just then I'll see my battery hit 3%. It's cool, too. They drop you because yesterday I was really about to kill my battery. Mm. I got a 10% warning. Then I got a 5% warning. And then it gave me an additional 3% warning. I was like, I wonder if I would get a 1% too. But I just shut it off at 3%.
1%, you better be quick. Because that's a fast percent. Depending on the game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of continued updates to the game too, Resolution Games, they're adding a new ranked mode to Demio Battles. It's not live yet, but it's in the works. And for a competitive game, any competitive game, but, Demio Battles falls into that category. I feel like ranked modes and rankings and, stat tracking, I feel like that stuff is essential because the people that play competitive PvP games, they want to be number one. So if there's no leaderboard to climb, I feel like that kind of pushes away some of that audience. So I feel like that's an essential feature coming to Demio Battle soon.
For that style of game, yeah, I would agree. I'm questioning how many, obviously we're not privy to server usage,
yeah.
But I'm really curious how many people are actually playing it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Demio has more active players still than Demio Battles.
I would bet on that.
Demio Battles is by far a spinoff. It attracts a different audience than Demio. It's
totally different. Totally different style of gameplay.
It's PvE
it's not
versus PvE versus PvP.
But I mean, I won't ever say anything bad about either one. Mm-hmm. But I like Demio much better than Demio Battles.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just because
I'm not bad at Demio Battles. I'm not too shabby. I just enjoy Demio as a whole much more than.
Overall, I think we tend to lean a little bit more towards like co-op experiences that we face the computer, so to say. I mean, we do play a lot of PvP games like Contractor Showdown, like Ghost of Tabor.
Pop One back in the day, too. To the beginning.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's actually, I never really paid attention to which one I really enjoy more, but I think I lean more towards the PvE style in general, like Demio versus Demio Battles. Like, we get to play the computer,
take our time, strategize, everything like that versus, you know, finding other real people to play against. But then on the other hand, we have Quantar.
I like the gameplay better.
On Demio?
On Demio.
Mm-hmm.
I like Demio battles, so I'm not being negative at all to it. Just I enjoy Demio as a whole much better.
Although then to ping pong against myself, you know, as much as I enjoy the PvE experience.
Especially with saving mid-game now.
So. Yeah, that's a huge one. I think to the rush of kicking people's ass in Quantar, and that's up there for VR experiences too. So
Quantar is my favorite co-op versus people fighter, period. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, and I say that because I've lost once since it came out.
Now, we need granted, to hop back not, in there.
Yeah, I want to just to see if we get our asses kicked.
I want to do a Quantar tournament against other people. We've signed up for one before, but we had some misunderstanding on the date of it. We signed up thinking that the sign up was that day.
They asked and we agreed. And then I think we recorded and we went home. And then at like 9 o'clock at night, there's a message about, you know, how it went down at 7 or something. Like, what? I remember sending you a message, be like, dude, was it today? Like, you're going to send me a freaking invite and then an hour we're supposed to jump in? Like, I'm feeling like an afterthought at that point, to be honest with you. But no, obviously we couldn't do it but we were up for it. We're going to go in there with a vengeance too.
Dude, that was at the time that we were playing daily. So
I'll do a Discord tournament. Why not? I just don't. Last time, dude, we've never even played anybody from Discord.
Mm-hmm.
In our Discord.
I did.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did. It wasn't co-op, though.
We tried a couple of times and we couldn't get any bites.
Mm-hmm. But we did it player versus everyone. But, you know, let's do a couple more pieces of news, then we'll take an ad break and we'll come back on the second half and we'll just talk about a bunch of stuff coming out in April. Because April looks like it's going to be a loaded month and this is just what's announced so far. And we know how VR goes. There's going to be a couple shadow drops and sometimes the shadow drops aren't small titles.
Grand Theft Auto, I think.
Could you imagine?
April 1st, baby.
That would be the craziest day to drop because people would be like, is it real? Or is it April Fool's? What are we doing here?
They took my money. That was real.
But Vampire the Masquerade Justice, a great game from Fast Travel Games that is now available on Pico. So for Pico users, get to go eat rats and be a vampire and take people out. Fun game. Really fun. And then a game that apparently is available in flat screen, but I had never played a flat screen. I've been very focused on VR the last couple of years, to say the least. But Smalland, Survive the Wilds, VR, it was announced this past week. And I saw some people like, dude, I love the flat screen version. Let's see how it goes in VR. So we're seeing more and more of these existing flat screen series, like Medieval Dynasty, like Tropico, come over to VR. I think things are getting attractive.
I mean, I think there's an understandable reason. I mean, and I'm not discrediting, like, the amount of effort it takes to do that, but if you're porting something over, it's already done. Like the base of it's done.
There's a lot of work to
I'm not talking the programming side. I'm just saying from like a conceptual side.
Yeah, like what you got to do, gameplay.
You don't have to design any of the base of the game. It's like
write a story.
It's already been laid out for you, and you can just, you know, obviously you have to render it for
voice acting's done
for whatever system you want to put it on. But I can see why someone would gravitate towards the flat screen and go like, hey, let's bring it. Cause I don't have to come up with the story. I don't have to come up with the base of the game as far as like, what are we talking here?
It's also a good way for those studios to test out the VR market before committing to making a whole new IP from scratch. Yeah. 100%.
It's a lot. I would think it's more expensive.
And, you know, if you're a fan of these games in flat screen like you were with Medieval, and then you see them announced in VR, you go, holy moly, let's go. You get super pumped. So it brings over an existing audience, too. It's win-win for everyone. I don't mind a good built-for-VR port at all.
Hmm.
And I saw Flat to VR Studios, they got some good funding last week as well. It's like that studio is going to be something.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they're going to be bringing over.
Yeah, it made so much.
I'm hoping for very recognizable titles.
it might be a couple small ones to start. Sometimes that's how it goes. And then when it's proven that it works, don't be surprised when too many people are knocking on your door that you're like, damn, I can't do all
of
these.
You know how you prove to me it works? You serve me a nice steak.
Mm-hmm.
Get what I'm
100%.
Saying?
100%. And they're like, going to do that.
I don't need a nice appetizer. I get it. I want a nice entree. I'd go for the gusto on that one, to be honest with you.
I'm curious who they're talking to so far.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see these titles that are coming over. And I'm hoping some bigger name titles are paying interest to this whole current
movement.
Hope
so. And if they're not now, they will be.
Oh, they will be on that. They could find themselves asked out too.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
you reach a point where the no starts happening
because it's just time.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough time in a day.
I saw them hiring some positions. It's like, man, this studio is going to be, it's going to be something. If they ever need a hype man,
it's a good partnership.
Call your boys, you know?
Hey, give us a call.
Oh, man.
We'll play all the games.
But good stuff. So we'll do one or two more and then we'll give a shout out to our Patreon peeps and take our little ad break that we always do. And of course I'll plug the Discord and all that stuff too. But to kind of fully put the Quest 1 in the grave, it served its purpose. It had its lifespan, but coming soon, new Quest Store apps won't be allowed to make their game for the Quest 1. And that's for App Lab and the main Quest Store.
Not upset about that.
It's inevitable, right?
I mean, moves with the times.
2019, 5 years.
It'd be cool if they
took more headsets have come out since.
It'd be cool if they could take the Quest 1 and just open source it and be like, do whatever you want.
They did that with the Go.
Yep. If you want to make shit, here it is. Just, we're not going to officially sell anything for it, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. But just let people have fun.
I hope that ends up happening.
And then you'd see some of those younger minds who's like older parents and shit. You can have my one. Who knows what, people could come up with. It's just a little.
It's not a bad headset.
No.
That headset sold me on VR. I tried Beat Saber on it and I was like, okay, I'll get one of these. Thrill the Fight looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then bada bing, bada boom, here we are, So the Quest 1 was a good headset.
But I like seeing the technology pushing forward. So looking forward to that Quest 4.
Yeah. Realistically, and it wasn't the case before, developers didn't even have to make their game be able to run on a Quest 1 before, but imagine if that requirement was there. It's like how much that would hold back
the
current hardware.
Shit out of games. Like,
I mean,
I'm going to put in all that work.
Realistically, it's like needing to develop for the Quest 2, which is, I don't know any percentages, but I got to imagine like 70% of the Quest users or something like that has to be Quest 2 users. I have a feeling Quest 3 is under 40% of the Quest 2 users. I would guess like 20 to 30%. So it's like you have to make your game compatible with the Quest 2.
Yeah.
You have to. That's the vast majority of the audience.
I don't think anybody would argue against that.
But how much more juice do you think you can get making your game only run on the Quest 3 and not the Quest 2? Probably quite substantial. So it's probably pretty tempting. You're like, damn it. I want to squeeze this baby out for as much as I can, but everybody's on the Quest 2.
I mean, if you look at it like an early stock, it's worth riding it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the capital to absorb it on the short term, because in the long term, you'll probably clean up with like a Quest 3 exclusive.
I have a feeling they'll be slower to kill off the Quest 2 than the Quest 1 as well, just because of sales numbers. I mean, the Quest 2 right now is $200.
Oh, still selling them.
You on Amazon, on some people's apps and stuff, it'll show how much has been sold the last month. It'll say like 40,000 sold the last month. And the Quest 2 numbers is just crushing it.
I mean, they're all but giving them away at this point.
$200, or you buy it from Walmart, it's $200 with a $50 MetaQuest gift card. So then you go.
Hotel room's more expensive.
Dude, it's crazy. To be able to get that entry-level VR for $200 is pretty mind-boggling that that's going on right now. But I put on my Quest 2 the other day, and I wasn't too impressed.
Well,
it was quite substantial going back from the Quest 3.
I mean, were you just comparing pass-through, or were you playing anything?
No, I went into some apps and stuff.
I didn't play a full game.
Really,
like...
But just even that, not only the home main screen, but like loading into a game, loading into an app, clicking through the settings, I was like, man, these lenses are not the same.
No.
Not even close. Those pancake lenses are so next level. So as much as they're giving away for $200, man, that but Quest 3 is a good beater, step up. Man.
150. What I like
you
is
call it the spare unit.
Yeah, it's your travel unit. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't need a 3 on the road. Mm-hmm. But you know, let's be like wicked honest here, right? You're a low income family. I know as a parent, when there's hot gifts to be gotten and shit, you want to be able to get them, mm-hmm. and not every family can afford, you know, $300-$400 for a hit that they don't even know mm-hmm. if it, you know, my kid's even gonna like this shit. But when you start hitting those like the $200 with a $50 rebate at Walmart, I mean, that's the exact market they're going after, is the people who couldn't afford the headsets before, and now they're going to get to have it. So it's just, it to me, it's really cool.
Well, and let's say you have two young kids. It's like, you want to get them VR. For the cost of a Quest 3, you could get them two Quest 2s. Let's say you have two kids. That's way better of an idea. Like, do they really need the Quest 3 if they're 8, 10, 12?
No, they don't.
I think a Quest 2 is plenty enough as well. So for, you know, parents with multiple kids, if they wanted to get, you know, they have two kids, you know, let's get each kid a headset. The Quest 2 is a way more logical decision. That's $400 with $100 of store credit.
And even companies that might want to offer it just for a little R&R with their, mm-hmm. With their employees and shit. It's like they spend $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
How many Quest 2s are they going to get? They're going to get a nice handful.
But for us, a little bit more hardcore, consistent users that really want that full-blown gaming experience, we're adults. We can just, it. Yeah, the Quest 3s.
Talking PC VR?
That's the next step up.
Sounds like
but,
the PC VR combo.
But what I'm saying is, like, for the people that are willing to spend a little bit more, it's great we have the Quest 3 option as well. But I can totally see an audience at the Quest 2, like, you know, parents buying for their kids, where it's like, yeah, the Quest 2 is a way better option right now.
And I think moving with the economy, I think it's a good move.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it does. It opens up the door for, I mean, there's it's beyond, dude. We're just blessed to a sense, you know,
mm-hmm.
Compared to other people's situations.
Absolutely.
So
a million
it's
percent.
Like I immediately gravitate to the like, this is going to make some parents feel pretty proud. It's going to make some kids feel wicked stoked because now they're part of the, you know how it is at school and shit. Kids going to be talking about it.
That's something that we've talked about too, affordability wise with like price of games. When we talk about, you know, when we do our reviews and we hit our value mm-hmm. segment and stuff like that, it's like, we understand like a game's $40. That might be the only game somebody's getting for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way it goes. Not everybody's dropping $50 in games every freaking couple weeks. That's not the way it works for some people. Some people they can, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not everybody's economic situation by any means.
No.
So it's like,
it's just a game.
If you go, hey, do I get the Quest 2 for my kid for $200 or the Quest 3 for $500? And you're like, oh, get the Quest 3. It's like you. Maybe that person, that $300 is not even reasonable to do, you know? That $300 difference, I mean.
Or it's the, do I get my kid the Quest for $200 or do I not pay rent
correct.
This month? You know, so I mean, that's I just, for a company that takes a beating in the world of let's hate on companies.
Oh my
goodness.
And
it's always, and it's people posting it on the very platform that they're mm-hmm. pitching, which is just fucking funny.
I've even heard people say, I hate Facebook. So
on Facebook,
no,
I'm using Instagram.
Correct. Yeah. So I'll use Instagram instead.
Fuck
like,
them. I'm
the
using
same company.
IG.
Same company.
To me, it's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like as a human being, it's like that should scream volumes to the,
yeah,
to the people in charge there. It's like, look, I mean, they didn't have to do that. They could be like, yeah, fucking 250 till we kill it.
I have no beef with HTC Vive or anything like that, the HTC, but I remember their head of VR made a comment about Meta being a race to the bottom price-wise and like how it's not good for VR. And that comment always rubbed me the wrong way because I'm of the mentality that you're of, that we need to make things affordable. We need to make it more for the consumer folk.
Well, some people like their private clubs too.
That's an unfortunate thing, but it's like, I'm more of a bring it to the masses. Let's get it to Brazil. Let's get it to those Latin markets. Let's get it to these.
Well, because we're not trying to create a private club of exclusion.
And we didn't grow up loaded. It's not like we were extremely wealthy or anything like that. It's not like I am now or anything too. So it's, I understand the way most people in the world live. It's like, we need to get it a race to the bottom. That's the only way we're going to grow VR to markets that they're not in now. For some countries, some areas, even in America, where it's a $700 headset, that get out of here. It's never going to happen. So
that'd be pretty much anywhere in America. I mean, every state,
yeah,
for
so
sure. I mean, it exists. It's real.
So I completely understand what you're saying, that drop down to 200 really does open things up for a lot of families, that a lot of didn't households, yeah, yep, that just don't have that kind of disposable
schools
income. A 1,000,000%. So yep, I agree. Man, I know some people get annoyed at 1,000,000%. So there's nothing more than 100%. That always makes me laugh. Have you ever heard somebody get worked up about that?
Well, I'd argue that you can mark up a product and it could be marked up 1,000,000%. So how could it not be 1,000,000%? So with that, sir.
That's actually a good counter.
That would be my thing.
So we'll do
comp markup.
Another one before we take an ad break.
Markup,
one, yeah, 1,000,000% markup. That's like coffee bean markup. You know, even coffee beans is like 1,000 or something like that.
Coffee, popcorn, cotton candy.
So one more before we take an ad break. Meta started to allow some developers with mixed reality apps to disable the Guardian when you go into the mixed reality mode in the app. So two notable ones that I know off the top of my head is Aspire 2 and Drop Dead the Cabin. Before, when you would go into a mixed reality mode in those games or any other game, you still have your Guardian, your pre-drawn Guardian, which can kind of mess with the experience in some ways, because it's like, why do I need a Guardian if I'm in color pass-through? Mm-hmm. I can very clearly see where my walls are, my TV. The whole point of the Guardian is that you're in VR, not mixed reality. So now Aspire 2 and Drop Dead the Cabin and maybe some other mixed reality apps. If anybody knows some others, don't hesitate, comment it in the comments or on our Discord. You go in there, no more Guardian at that time. When you leave the app, of course, your Guardian comes back on, but then you can just freely walk around your kitchen, your whole house. There's no drawn Guardian. I think that's huge for mixed reality experiences.
Yeah, not seeing a grid is cool. So whatever it takes for that, I'm happy.
Even in VR at this point, for how long I've been using it, I think we were talking about it the other week. I'm like, man, I wish I could just completely shut off my Guardian
just
at all times. Yeah.
I'll clearly click I agree and understand that all liabilities on me.
At this point,
I will hold Meta completely harmless for anything that I damage or ruin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like at this point, I know where I am in my room. It was different when I first started. What is kind of the counter to that is, if that button existed when I first started, I might have clicked it, and I definitely wasn't ready at that time.
Have you punched the floor before?
The floor? No.
You've never punched your floor before?
In my headset?
In VR?
My walls, yeah.
Right.
Not
so
really my
punched
floor.
Walls. I know I've punched the floor before.
What were you doing in the floor? Was it played in
sorcery? There was something that I drop down on and
I'm just trying to imagine smashing something's head in.
And people have hit ceiling fans and TVs, and I know I've right hooked the scratching post, and that's with a Guardian. So
I like this specific right hook, not a left hook.
Yep.
Hit it with the right hook.
Yeah, I remember that one. So it's like, even with the Guardian, it's like I'm still making mistakes. Just let me turn the thing off. And so I question whether, I mean, I still would have made all those same mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a good point, even with the Guardian.
And I'm not running, you know, so I don't have to worry about going face first into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've matured enough not to dive. So just let us start. Or how about this? When you've owned your headset for a year.
Then it comes on.
Bing. You've graduated.
Your Quest account's been active for a year. Now you can shut off your Guardian.
I mean, also in theory, they could look at the data from your gameplay and recognize that you're not, or maybe that's the problem. They see everyone's gameplay data and they're like, there's no fucking way we can turn this off. The amount of people that hit their shit is just over the top.
Well, hey, at least it's going away in some mixed reality apps, which means it's going to come to all mixed reality apps soon. This is just how they pilot stuff and test it. So cool stuff.
So we'll take a quick ad break, then we'll come back and we'll finish up the rest of the episode just talking quick about some games that are coming out in April. And we'll try to push through it a little fast because, like I said, we got Easter festives. Let's see, though. Sometimes we babble. So, like always, before we take our ad break, you know, if you're a fan of the podcast, you haven't yet, subscribe, rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you listen on. If you listen to the audio version, if you're on YouTube, like you always like to say, smash that like button, subscribe, comment, share with your friends, all that stuff. We do our nice live chat for the episodes too. So on YouTube, it premieres live. So we get that live chat. That's really cool. If you haven't checked that out yet, it's fun. Also, go check out our Discord server. A lot of good VR discussion on there, as well as some other discussion, like I always say, book clubs, off-topic discussion, music discussion, pet pictures, my favorite channel, food pictures. We also have a private channel just for Patreon subscribers. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you want to show us some love, you can join our Patreon for some on-air perks like on-air shout-outs, your name across the bottom of a ticker. Or we also just have a perk that you get access to a private channel in our Discord server, like I mentioned a moment ago, just for Patreon peeps. So cool stuff. So fan of the podcast, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, Patreon, Discord, tell your friends, smash that like button, all that stuff. So like always, huge shout out to our Patreon subscribers on our on-air shout out tier. We have Asim, Amelia, Earth Witness, Carson, Generic Vibes, TP, Jake, Crispy, and Shoes, which I know TP is TPZ in my head. That's it. Sign up said TP
forever, man.
Yeah, Crispy. Crispy is the man. I know he still listens and stuff. I just think he's just busy.
What's up, Crispy?
People be like that sometimes with the Discord, in and out with activity. But, you know, I always appreciate everybody who's in there engaging. TP's a new one on the Patreon list, too. Dude, we have 9 people on our on-air shout-out tier.
Yay.
That's cool. Let's see who can be magic number 10. Let's see. So we'll be back with you in just a moment with some upcoming games in the month of April.
This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code word RUFFTALKVR for 20% off plus free shipping. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features 2 interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads. A standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
And we are back. So one piece of news that I actually missed before we get into games coming out in April. The other month that came out, that Meta's partnership with Tencent to bring a Quest Lite to China was in trouble. Like, it wasn't looking the best. But now the report is that that's still being worked on and that's still going to come out. So a Quest Lite coming to China would be huge for the VR market. That's a huge market of potential game
for developers.
The way China works, if you're an American company or a foreign company in general, not just American, if you're not from China, you can't just go into China and open up shop like that. You need to partner with an existing Chinese company. That's why Meta needs to partner with Tencent in order to bring the Quest to that market. And Tencent's a huge tech company in China. So let's see. I wonder what made things get rocky, but it's good to hear that things are back on course. And like I said, that would be huge for the VR market. And then another one before we get into games that are coming out soon. This dropped last week on the official store, and you went into and had a blast. MLB Home Run Derby, which was previously on App Lab, is now out on the official MetaQuest store. And you went into it, and I wasn't expecting this, but, you know, we were in party chat while you were playing. You sound like you had a damn good time with it.
It's fun. It's like...
It's simple.
You know, they throw pitches at you for like a minute 30 and give you little targets out in the far end of the home run area to hit multipliers, like 2-time, 3-time, 5-time. There's a freaking leaderboard. So it screams all the incentive to try to get good. And I was doing like full swings and shit, but then I learned you can literally just flick the wrist. So if you're tight for space, you can actually still hit a home run. It seems very forgiving with hitting the ball. Just where you hit the ball is where it's more on you, I feel. But it was fun. Pick the stadium you want to play in or the ball field, your favorite team, and go out there and just, I mean, it's all you're literally doing. Minute 30, as many home runs as you can. But you look at that leaderboard and you're like, well, shit, how did they do that? So, yeah, I had a blast with it, and I'll continue to probably just play it in little spurts. But I'm just happy to say that there's something with MLB that wasn't, you know, bad, like flat screen. Although I won't knock them for the past couple of years. They've been doing good with their Major League Baseball game. Every year they come out with a new one. So we'll see if they can turn this into something. Like, imagine a full co-op baseball game where you all have positions.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping was going to happen with Toldy Baseball.
Yeah, I'd love to see MLB do it. I like Toldy Baseball, but it's a little on that cartoony edge, so. We'll say. Or like when they give you baseball games and they give you the wicked big bat type of thing. So we'll see.
No, huge props to them for graduating App Lab too. That's crazy that MLB title was on App Lab, but that should be a message to anyone that no one's immune to the App Lab wrath, you know? Anybody can get stuck there.
Meta will App Lab their own stuff.
Yeah. It was there for like 2 or 3 years too. So huge props to them for their graduation, and you had fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
So now for some upcoming games in April. It's a loaded month. And it starts right on April 4th with C Smash VR, which was available on PSVR previously. It's a racket game in VR. Reminds me a little bit of like an Atari-esque racket club almost, but instead of facing other players, it looks like you're hitting targets.
There's currently there's one that we played that's like that. I'd have to look in my library to know what it is, but that's exactly what it is. You're hitting targets. You're not playing another person. And for the life of me, I can't think of the game.
I don't even know what game you're talking about.
Oh, it's driving me crazy. I'll figure it out. But yeah, I might have to cheat and look in my phone.
Okay, that's fine. But C Smash VR coming out April 4th. I don't have much to say on it though. Just that it had a good little following on PSVR. Let's see how it comes out on the Quest. And then a game that we had talked to the developers for the other week, Skyclimb VR, is now officially launching on the MetaQuest.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That could be a sleeper.
We were playing it on App Lab. We were playing the App Lab version. I think when we talked to VR Monkey, I think they said that there was going to be no differences in the main store version either. It's going to be pretty much a one-to-one.
One-to-one, yeah. Yep,
but that's going to officially launch on April 4th.
I won't lie. It's more fun than I thought it was going
to
be.
Well, I'm not usually a fan of that local motion, that kind of like grab and pull yourself. But the way you're able to just launch yourself in this one is next level fun, man. And then coming right after, on April 11th, we have Toy Monsters VR, which I talked about last week, and I think I've been talking about it almost every week.
Every week.
I'm hyped for it, so I've talked about it enough, but I'll say it again. Toy Monsters, coming quick, April 11th. If you like Plants vs. Zombies, you like the kind of real-time tower defense aspects, like those style of games, man, Toy Monsters is so much fun, and the official store version is going to have even more content, a lot more content actually, than the App Lab version. So can't wait for that one. And then a game I'm so jealous for PC VR users. Very rarely do I talk about things just coming
this is coming up.
Yeah, that are just coming to PC VR. But if you're a PC VR user, Dungeon Full Dive, which is a flat screen game on Steam, but it's going to have PC VR support. It's launching on April 12th, the next day after Toy Monsters. And it's kind of like a D&D creation game. And it just looks so cool. I want one of these in VR on the Quest so bad. So for you PC VR users, you're lucky. You have Dungeon Full Dive coming on April 12th. And then another game, we actually talked about it last week. The 18th is going to be a loaded one, by the way. But we talked about this one a bit last week. Big Shots is coming out on April 18th. So that one looks a lot of fun. It's available solo. It's available multiplayer. So multiplayer mechs, you know we're in. Multiplayer is a pretty easy sell for me, man. I won't lie. So that one looks really good. And then Tiny Archers, we talked about this one the other week too. Mm-hmm. That one's coming out April 18th as well. That one's kind of like an elven assassin, but just a little bit more cartoony. You know, the tower defense with archery elements. But there's been a couple games to do that style. Like I just mentioned, Elven Assassin, but that's kind of how Battle Bows was too. And Tiny Archers just looks like another little twist on it. But I'm down for it. I'll play it. I'm looking forward to it. Soul Covenant, which we talked about last week, is also coming out on April 18th. So right off the top, that's three games on April 18th. Big Shots, Tiny Archers, Soul Covenant, all coming out on April 18th. Soul Covenant looked pretty good. Like I said, we talked about it pretty in-depth last week, so I don't need to spend a lifetime on it or anything like that. The same day, Strike Rush is coming out. That's a competitive first-person shooter game. I don't want to sound harsh. I remember watching the trailer and being like, I'll play it, I'll give it a shot, but there's a lot of these style games that are on the market currently, so I really hope it brings something unique or something special to make it sit out, because there's only so many VR multiplayer users, I'll say, and like I said, there's a lot of these style games, but wish them the best. And then another one that, you know, you had joked off air, that's another market that maybe is a little saturated.
Slightly.
It's a zombie shooter game, but this one's up to four-person co-op, so I'm down for it. It's called The Flip. That one's also coming out April 18th, and it looks silly. It looks like they use the meta avatars, but it's just you fight hordes of zombies to get to the extraction point. Dude, up to four-player support, I'll play it. I'll love it. I don't really get sick of killing zombies. For some reason, it's just it works. It doesn't look like it's going to be the most in-depth game.
It's not going to hurt after the fall.
No.
I'll put it that way.
No. But it looks like it'll have its place in the VR market. I'm excited for it. But, dude, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games coming out on April 18th, all on the same day. That's ruthless. Well, a couple are going
to
get missed.
I don't know what to say. A couple. I mean, we were just talking about how, like, most people won't and can't buy $50 worth of games every single week. So, you know, it just seems with the mix that they have in there, it's going to be very specific. Like, I like archery. Mm-hmm. This is what I'll get. I like zombies. Well, then this is what I'll get. So at least they have, it's not all like three zombies.
No, these are vastly different games. Soul yeah. Covenant, that's like a
totally different.
Dude, Tiny Archers, Big Shots, Strike Rush, The Flip, all vastly different games.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool stuff. And then another game that we had talked about the other week, Ann Architects, which we didn't understand the trailer at all, but I've seen some people say that they went hands-on with it at GDC, and they had a blast with it. So now I don't know what the hell is going on, but the trailer they did was, if you remember, it was that animated one that looked like a Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah,
showed us nothing about the game, and we were laughing, like, imagine if that was the game. And we're just out here just ripping on it. But, like, that's the game somehow. But it's like a Garry's Mod type game.
You know what I learned about it? Nothing.
But people who went hands-on with it say they had a blast with it.
Well, okay.
I need to see some gameplay footage.
That means nothing to me.
I need to see some gameplay footage.
Something.
But that's coming out.
Give me a little taste, man.
That's coming out April 23rd. And then Retropolis 2, which, if I'm not crazy, launched on App Lab in Early Access. But they're coming out with their official release. It's a sequel to Retropolis. henceforth Retropolis 2. Mm. But it's kind of like a point and click interactive story adventure game. That one's coming out in April as well, the sequel, Retropolis 2. And then we also have Nope Challenge coming out sometime in April. I don't have an official date on that, but just that is coming out in April.
I'm excited to try that, but I don't feel it's going to have any effect on me.
No. Nope Challenge is like a game to face your phobias.
Although Flock of the Low God could have filled in a little void for scaring the shit out of you.
That's true. And in the trailer for Nope Challenge, they open with a scary clown.
Dude, then not only but there's like
heights,
clowns in the background walking with the big fucking clown mm-hmm. hammer and just looking really pissed off.
And then there's ones that seem like it messes with height phobias. So it looks like it'll encounter
spiders.
Bunch of different phobias, and they'll put you into a VR experience of it. But the first time I saw it, I thought it was designed in like a therapeutic aspect. But now seeing these clowns, it looks like much more of a game.
Self-torture yourself.
Yeah, it's much more of a gamified.
Then you can hit a button and go right back to like this peaceful zen area. You got the nice, you know.
You remember the trailer zen pretty garden. Well.
Oh, yeah. plus, I was reading about it again not too long ago just to make sure I didn't have anything twisted. So it's all in your hands. Nothing's forced on you.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to go choose your scare.
Well, you're the one opening up the app and doing it.
You do it. And when you've had enough, just hit the button.
Mm-hmm.
Poof. It'll instantly bring you back to your peaceful place. But this is going to be a good one for grandma. So I hope people bust out their video cameras. And dude, Richie's plank got so much play with people videotaping because it was fun to watch people walk the plank.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this is going to be like?
They even just went viral on some UK TV show last week. There were some soccer players playing. I don't know anything about soccer. I think they were soccer players, but it was in the UK. I saw it on, it was like some talk show, something like that. It was pretty big.
We know it wasn't American football.
No. It's funny how it shows you how things can be like regionally or nationally big, but then like outside of that nation, it's like, I know nothing about it. But even now, I mean, how many years has Richie's plank experience been out and it's still going viral on talk shows and getting that reaction?
So this could be good.
And the reception to Max Mustard has been phenomenal. People have loved everybody's new favorite condiment, Max Mustard.
It's got that nostalgic, and they just increased the Quest 3 visuals by 54%, I think.
And even the Quest 2 is a little bit, not nearly as much, but the Quest 2 is, they even squeeze a little bit more juice out. So huge props to Toast Interactive. They crushed it with the launch of Max Mustard. I'm so happy to see that. Richie's great people. We talked with Robbie the other week, their lead designer.
Good day, mates.
Great people. So I'm so happy to see that Max Mustard has gotten great reception. I know some people...
I can't remember what that was.
Some people are skeptical on the concept of the top-down VR platformer, but I'm so glad to see that they're proving people wrong. I don't know how the sales have been, only the reception. The reception's been positive. I hope they've crushed it. Max Mustard is a game that I can confidently give my personal seal of approval on. So that's it. I'm out. Boom. I'm out of new notes. If my news was on index cards, I could throw them in the air and say, we're done for the day. That's not a bad idea going forward. But what about you? Anything that you saw the week that I missed? Anything you want to talk about?
Nah, man.
Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, just laying heavy on Medieval.
Tropico.
You
got to get all this shit done before April 18th, looks like.
I mean, Grim. We're still waiting on Grimm.
One day Grimm's going to come. Silent North coming.
I don't think
Silent North is going to come out this year like Grimm, but...
I've actually received text messages through Discord from people I don't know asking if they can test Grimm. So
like you have you just go in that you have no affiliation with the game, nothing. You just go in there and you say hi every once in a while. I'll pop in the Grimm server. I see your interactions. You just go in there, say, hey, what's up, everyone? You know, not like you're... freaking any affiliation, people messaging you like, hey, how do I get in? Which shows you what the like Spoon and Scott, what they must deal with people messaging them.
Oh yeah, over the top.
Must be non freaking stop. If they're even reaching out to you, they're like, well, these guys do the podcast for Tabor, so that must mean that they can get me into what?
Yeah, I'll just put it out there. I have no dog in the hunt as to who playtests any games from any developer, from any studio, so you don't need to send me messages.
We're just hyped for Grim. So hyped.
I'm trying to ask if you can squeeze in. But I'll tell you what, it's just an educational piece real quick, because this is really starting to sunk in, and really it's because of the Grim or Discord. So if I'm a developer and I'm playtesting my game and you're going to fucking bug me 50 times asking me to playtest the game, now let this sink in, okay? How do you think that person's going to behave when they're playtesting it and they find a bug? Do you think they're just going to fill and submit a form? Are they going to blow your shit up every day, all day, until you acknowledge that they found this? It's like your pre-behavior before testing says how you're going to be as a tester.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're annoying as fuck before you've even gotten the game, how are you going to be when you get it? Do you get what I'm saying?
1,000,000%. Just to do it one more time.
And my all-time favorite, though, is the people who are like, NDA, haha, you don't really have to follow those. And I'm like, why would somebody give you any information?
I'm saying this in their Discord.
Dude, no shame. No shame. It's like the guy came in the other day saying how, like, I asked Scott twice for Grim. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to end well for this young man. And then you find out he goes into all the Combat Waffle servers asking for Grim. Like, people.
We're excited for it. Luckily, we have our outlet that, our podcast outlet. Every week we get to go, Grim, when? We get it. People are excited.
It's coming. It's coming. It's allegedly coming fourth quarter. Maybe later.
Maybe it doesn't come out this year. That's fine. It'll come out when it's ready.
2028. It's done when it's done. But man.
Chill.
Just take a breath. And again, we have no affiliation with any golden tickets to get anyone access to anything. So.
People.
Oh, dude, it's going
to
be people great.
People never cease to make me laugh, but I cannot wait till those servers are open.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Till the floodgates go. We rope in some of the Rough Talk VR Discord to go take over a server. I'm excited.
I think Chadwick's on board.
Yeah.
We'll roll in with Chad for sure.
Are we going to be warlords?
We're going to be dicks.
Okay. That's what we've settled on.
I'm not.
We're warlords.
And you know I can be a little softy sometimes.
Did you hear the way I asked the question? Yeah. I already knew.
Yeah. This is going to be ruthless.
Yeah.
To the point where I don't even mind if, like, there's a way we can, like, no, we'll work with you. No. If anybody in our group says we're working with somebody, it's with intent to loot them, clean them, kill them, whatever we got to do.
Strip them out.
I want to be that one game where this is going to be my... Like, people are going to go, oh, he's in here.
You know, the first time we go, we're dead in like a minute, too. And it's going to be fuck, this is an uphill battle.
There's also going to be people who go, oh, they're in here? Let's murk them. They talked a lot of shit.
Time to back it up, boys.
Yeah, I'm excited, though.
Yeah.
All right, so. I'm good. We got right. Easter shit.
Yeah, too much to do today. So could have talked even longer. This wasn't even a bad length episode. So look at that. Thought we were going to go super fast. Whoopsie.
It's a little long.
Whoopsie.
Oh, well. So, happy. Hope everyone had fun.
Yeah. Enjoy the next week. This is the only episode this week, but starting next week, we'll be back with our 2 a week with news and interviews. Maybe I've been liking how we're doing our not full reviews, just kind of talking about games. Because
we have more ability to talk about other games, too.
But when you ask people how they discover us, a lot of people do discover us through reviews. So it's important that we still do them. So got to bite the bullet. Maybe I think I'll be able to bang out a Tropico review before I can bang out Medieval Dynasty, but let's see. It's just because I've already played Tropico 4 so much. It's like picking up where I left off, you know?
Tropico on MetaQuest.
But nonetheless, if you enjoyed the episode, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, join that Discord, join that Patreon. Thank you to everybody that listens every week. And we'll be back with you next week.